DeSantis is doing, and the way I see it that Disney has a lawsuit against DeSantis for the First Amendment rights because they're basically taking repercussions against Disney for speaking out.
Right. No doubt about it. Just the only question is, how long will that take, and what is a 6-3 with a free speech issue now? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, first of all, it'll take, I'm going to guess, 7 years to even get there, if it ever gets there, if it doesn't get settled or if it doesn't get, you know, arbitrated or some, you know, agreement happen. But this really does need to be not only litigated, but all the way to the Supreme Court. This should be the New York Times versus Sullivan case, which is the ultimate free speech case. This one should replace that one. And it should be, you know, Disney versus DeSantis. And we should get a ruling on whether or not you can use the awesome power of being a governor of a large state. I don't care if you're a large state or a small state, but the power of your state to intimidate, coerce, and or extort or force a person, place, or thing, like a company, not a person, into compliance or subservience by mutilating their tax status because you said they're not behaving and they've criticized you. This is the best First Amendment case I have seen so far, and it needs to happen.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting cam, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
All right, welcome to a Thursday. And hey, it's already Friday Eve. And, you know, I guess having a day off in the middle of the week works wonders. Now, I misled you a little bit. I said I was at the beach. And we planned on going to the beach, except Allison made plans with some other friend to go to the beach today. And she's like, why don't we just go thrifting? So Allison's my kid. And she, you know, she works and she works on weekends. Her day, her weekend is actually Wednesday and Thursday. So we don't ever really get to hang out because she's working on weekends and I work during the week. So I took yesterday off. We had a wonderful day. You know, we just went around to different thrift stores. I got a couple of cool things to do my art on. I got this one massive mirror. You know, my new thing is painting on mirrors because it looks so cool. And I use these alcohol ink markers, and it just, the effect is really kind of magnificent. And so this one, though, it's like a big ornate window with two like window doors that open. So It's cool, but it's big, so it's going to take me a while to work on it. Anyway, audio is warbling again. What the hell? All right, I honestly don't know what the hell is going on. The sound is clear. Now you're saying the sound is cleared up. All right, so I'm going to watch you because some are saying it's bad, and then Larry said it's cleared up. Is it cleared up or not? Because if it's not, I'm going to do the reset thing again. Damn it. You know what? I'm just going to do it because it doesn't take long, but you're going to have silence for about 3 seconds. All right, here we go. And now it's good. All right, well, now it's back again. So hopefully all is well. We'll see. Yeah, because it cleared up before I turned it off. All right, I don't know. Gremlins, I'm telling you, I have gremlins in my studio. There's no earthly reason why the audio should get funky like that. All right, but it did. All right, so let me tell you, did you see what's going on in Florida? Sorry, but we have to start with Florida again. I'm going to play a video for you. Today, you know, the moron, death sentence, who, by the way, I have a new name for him. Yes, death sentence will always work, but he's now DeSatan. He is of Satan. Ron DeSatan is his new name. And the Satan, Florida's own Satan, is, you know, now he's got a feud with Disney, right? And we'll get to that. But before, so the special session that they called, you know, the Florida legislative session runs for, I think, 2 months, the beginning of each year. It's like January through March. And that's supposed to be it. Well, one thing that they didn't do is they didn't deal with the issue of our homeowners insurance. We have a crisis here in the state of Florida where nobody will write insurance for homeowners. Gee, I wonder why. Because you can't get homeowners insurance, there's always been this, or at least since I've been back here, what's called the insurer of last resort. And it's a company called Citizens. And it's there for people who can't get insurance elsewhere. Well, now even Citizens is not writing policies. So, and when you can get it, it's ridiculously expensive. That's if you can even afford rent because the rents have gone sky high. Anyway, so this special session was supposed to be to deal with the insurance, property insurance crisis, because they ignored it during the regular session. Well, the thing is, while they were getting it together to do this, these two other issues came up. One is the Disney feud where, you know, DeSatan has to exact his revenge because Disney dared to say that his Don't Say Gay bill is fucked up, right? So there's that. And then the other one, had to do with the districting. So the legislature drew up, redistricting, thanks to the census. It happens every 10 years. And Satan didn't want, he didn't like the somewhat fair map they drew up. And even the Republicans in the legislature said to him, well, then, you know what? You draw a map because we've already done it. And obviously you want your own thing. So you do it. And he did. And this map is very, you know, it's racist. What can I tell you? It's a racist map. What it does is, let me see if I can't find my, okay, I'm going to read you a description. Dave Wasserman, who's a district, who's a, you know, he does political strategizing and everything. He wrote, he tweeted, DeSantis backed Florida gerrymander that's poised to stretch the state's current 16R, 11D, so 16 Republican seats, 11 Democratic seats breakdown to 20 Republican, 8 Democratic seats by eliminating North Florida's plurality black Florida 05 passes both chambers along party lines and heads to the governor for signature. So he's killing off two districts that were majority black and making the balance from just to make sure you hear this from the way it's been for the last while, you know, these redistricting schemes apparently are supposed to last 10 years. 16 Republican seats, 11 Democratic seats to 20 Republican seats to 8 Democratic seats and killing off the two predominantly black districts in northern Florida. Paul Waldman, who writes at the Plumline blog for the Washington Post, wrote, "Don't forget what DeSantis's play is here. Worst case, Republicans get more seats this year and a new map is in place for 2024. Best case, the Supreme Court uses the suit against this map to strike down what remains of the Voting Rights Act. And DeSantis is a right-wing hero forever." We're so fucked. So what happened today before they, you know, and the Democrats are so outnumbered in the legislature, there's not a whole lot they can do. But before they, you know, were supposed to debate and vote on this bill today, a number of these Democrats decided to stage a little protest on the floor of the Capitol. And here's what happened. Here's how it went down.
Occupy this floor.
We will not be denied.
We will not be denied.
Stop the black attack, they're saying. Now, the woman, there's two people sitting on the floor, right? The woman, and they're both wearing T-shirts that say stop the black attack, and there's a few people standing around them, making some noise. That's as far as it went. And then, you know, one of the idiot Republicans like, well, they can't act civilly. We're not even going to debate. We're just going to go to a vote. Fuck you. Well, the woman who was there is a woman named Angie Nixon. And she's been on the show before with Howie, actually. Howie brought her on, introduced me to her about a year and a half ago. And Angie Nixon is... Hi, Angie. It's Nicole Sandler calling. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. So I just played the video of you guys doing this sit-in on the floor of the chamber there in Tallahassee today. What happened? Can you explain what's going on here in Florida to the listeners?
Yeah, so what's going on in Florida is that we have a bully, overambitious governor who is acting as a dictator and attempting to slash in half black representation in Congress because he cares more about being the next president of the United States as opposed to ensuring that all Floridians have the freedom to be healthy, prosperous, and safe. So we were frustrated and we wanted to let the constituents and residents of Florida, everyone in Florida know what was going on, everyone across the country to know what was going on. He's drawing maps that he does not have the authority to do, unconstitutional, illegal maps that, again, are eliminating half of the black congressional districts in the state of Florida. And it's a direct attack on democracy. And we want it to stop. We attempted to stop it. But of course, Speaker Sprouse, who is a bully himself, went ahead and pushed through that bill and went ahead and pushed through Reedy Creek and the other Disney deal and trying to, you know, just do what Republicans do.
Yeah. And the Democrats are so outnumbered in the Florida state legislature and the House and the Senate that there's not much you can do except make noise when you can.
Right. And so there was a lot of people that did not know what was going on in regards to the maps and the fact that the new maps were going to eliminate half of black representation in the state. And so we wanted to cut through the Disney noise. But, it's, you know, Disney, the issue with Disney is real because what it does illustrate is the fact that if you ever criticize the governor about anything, he will come and attack you.
That's right.
You can be a person. You can be a business. You can be a religious institution. You could probably be mustard or mayonnaise. If you criticize the governor, he will come after you if he feels like it's going to help him become president.
Right.
And so, like, again, that's his end goal. And so we wanted to lift that up to the folks across the state so that they know come November they don't need to vote for him again.
Oh, please. Well, you know, I saw there was one poll today that has they only, and it's a polling company I never heard of. So there's the caveat. And they only tested DeSantis against Charlie Crist. They left out Annette Tadeo entirely. But It says DeSantis down by 13 points to Charlie Crist and tied with Nikki Fried. I hope that's true too. Like I said, I've never heard of this poll before, but we'll take it because this man needs to be knocked off his perch. He definitely does.
He definitely needs to be knocked off this perch. And the thing is, the Republicans are trying to say, oh, they put up pictures of this in January 6th, and they're like, oh, the resemblance is uncanny.
Oh, like please.
Insurrection. Well, first of all, thank you for finally admitting that
that was an insurrection.
Did commit an insurrection. And so, and second of all, no, as I stated when I first started, in the words of John Lewis, you know, we are causing good trouble, necessary trouble. We have the right to be in the chamber. We sat down, we were peaceful, we chanted, we let our ask and demands be known, and we just highlighted just the injustices that constantly occur. And look, Chris Brouse came in and he rammed that legislation through. They always change the rules. They even changed the rules for that bill itself, for the redistricting bill, the MAP bill, because it has a fiscal impact. It didn't go to the Appropriations Committee. It didn't go to the Rules Committee. They just put it on the floor. So this is what Republicans do when they are fearful of losing power. And this is exactly why we have to push back.
Right. And Angie, here's the other thing. It wasn't too long ago. It was sometime in the last 10 years. We voted on what's called Fair Districts Florida. We had a constitutional amendment that these districts had to be drawn fairly. And this goes completely against it. So how does he get away with it? Do we now challenge this in the courts again?
So we know that there are going to be lawsuits filed. I wouldn't doubt if something was filed today.
Already,
to be honest with you. But we definitely know that things are going. Oh, as soon as he signs it, it'll be filed. I'm sorry. So he has to sign it first, right?
Uh-huh, I see.
And so when he signs it, folks are probably going to take it to court. And again, we just have to highlight what's going on. It probably won't get kicked back or nothing's going to change for the next 2 years, to be honest with you. And so we're going to have to run on these maps. However, we can not elect or reelect these ridiculous right-wing extremists. These folks are taking us back to the Jim Crow era. And you asked me earlier, like, what happened on the floor? Why did we do what we did? I could not have stood by why Representative Thompson, Representative Henson, who had to fight for their right to vote, who literally had to fight for their right to vote. And I know that Representative Henson had gotten arrested. And as she testified and debated on the floor today, she said she got spit on and kicked. I can't stand by allow them to have debated on the floor and to have not done nothing. So I stood up for my seniors, for my elders, for my ancestors. I stood up for all Floridians because when one of us is attacked, all of us are attacked. And it's really important for us to come together as Floridians and to stand up to this bully, this dictator that is Ron DeSantis.
Absolutely. Well, you know, for the longest time, I called him Death Sentence. Moron Death Sentence was my nickname for him. Now he's just DeSatan because he is of Satan. He is evil incarnate. There's something seriously wrong with him in the way he puts everybody down and pushes his own personal preferences on everybody. All the while, it's speaking in Orwellian terms, you know, calling the parental right bill, which completely takes away parents' rights. Everything is backwards and opposite world. So, Angie, I appreciate you doing this. Now, you represent the Florida's 14th district, so you're in the Jacksonville area, right?
I am. I'm in Jacksonville, yes. And so my district is one that is impacted by these maps. So, yes.
Oh, my goodness. It's insane. And the thing that is even more insane that makes no sense is this guy's approval rating keeps going up. And I think, I don't know, there's just so much anger and hatred and ugliness out there. And people like him and the former guy who he tries to emulate are pushing
it.
I think he brings it on.
Exactly. But I think that they are going to be pleasantly surprised because we're going to mobilize and galvanize our base because, you know, light at the end of the day always out-trumps darkness. Light overtakes darkness. And so he is of darkness, and mm-hmm. I know that we are of light, and we will win. I believe that we will win.
Well, with you on the case, I feel better about it. Angie, when I saw that was you on the floor, it's like I got to call her. Now, we only met the one time. You came on with Howie. It's got to be a year or more ago. And
yeah.
when we spoke, you were pregnant and you had COVID. So
I did.
So you're done with the COVID, I'm guessing. And there's a new baby around?
There is a new baby, Ashanti. Mm-hmm. Ashanti Jace, who is full of life and who I was actually doing this for, right? I don't want her to have to fight the same fight that her great-grandmother, my grandmother, had to fight for. So
right.
that's one of the reasons that I did this today.
Well, you keep fighting because you're one of the great voices we have here in Florida. And we need you and we need others like you. You know, we've got this, we have this big governor's race coming up. And although I like Annette Tadeo a lot, I don't know that she's got the juice to carry her through the state. Charlie Crist, I hope he can beat DeSantis because I don't think Nikki Fried can. I think she blew it the other day with her comment on the masks. She lost my support if she ever had it. So, we have a lot of tough times ahead of us, but we got
to
fight for it because everything is on the line. Everything
for
is
sure,
on the line
for sure. And you know, we come from resilient folks. And so we're going to continue to fight and we're going to continue to make sure that our voices are heard. And like I said, I believe that we will win.
Now, this session, this special session, was allegedly called to address something that the Republicans ignored. And I say the Republicans because they run everything there during the regular session, which is our property insurance crisis. They just ignored that to pass like the don't say gay bill and the, you know,
exactly.
You know, don't make
exactly.
white people feel bad about their ancestry. I mean, the bullshit stuff. So
exactly.
Now are they dealing with this insurance crisis or just putting more restrictions
on us? The governor claims that in May that we're going to address the property insurance crisis. But my thing is, the same way that he could tell us the day of that we were going to have an amended session with Disney's Reedy Creek and the deplatforming bill, he could have amended special session to address the property insurance
yes.
issue, but he didn't. And so that just illustrates that everything that he does is about politics and creating culture wars and bullying people because they spoke out and criticized him. This is what we would have to look forward to if he was president of the United States. And if he's attacking Disney, what do you think he's going to do to marginalized communities? He's not going to listen to us. We will not get resources. We will be hurting. But he will take us back in time. And I do not want to go back to the wrong side of history.
Nor do I. So we've got our work cut out for us. Angie Nixon, thank you for being there. Thank you for fighting on and for speaking out. And, you know, let's stay in touch because we've got a really big fight here in Florida and we need to turn it around or we have to leave. So,
right. For sure.
Okay. Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you and I'll stay in touch.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Angie Nixon, again, she represents Florida's 14th district in the state. So she's a state representative. I met her through Howie Klein about a year or so ago when we needed, you know, we were trying to get the Florida legislature to be more balanced, to get more Democrats. At the time, there were many more registered Democrats in the state than there were Republicans, go figure. Yet Republicans have a huge majority in the state legislature. Gee, I wonder why that is. A little thing called gerrymandering that we voted to fix in a thing called Fair Districts Florida. We voted in a constitutional amendment that the Republicans in charge ignored. This is why we need a Voting Rights Act. This is why they have to get pre-clearance, or they had to get pre-clearance before they made any changes in the election rules. And all that's out the window now. It is frustrating as hell. Beyond frustrating. So we need, you know, we need to fight on, but we also need to stay sane. I can't tell you how many emails I get from listeners that start with, I got to thank you for keeping me sane over the past few years because you say the things that I'm screaming at the TV or the radio. So I'm glad I can help with your sanity. I'm having trouble with my own. So how I deal with my sanity is the artwork, right? I'm painting. And you may recall about, maybe it's about 6 weeks ago now, I said I was participating in this program that's through the University of Florida in Gainesville, and it's around the state. They were doing a thing there. It's a scientific, you know, experiment where they've enlisted the help of, quote, citizen scientists. Now, I am a citizen. I'm far from a scientist. And I'm not a gardener. Although I tried gardening a few years ago, and you may recall I grew a few, like, I think pea pods or something. But, you know, I have a very, can you tell, a brown thumb. Anyway, this is a study to see how easiest to make it for people to grow their own tomatoes, because it's about food sustainability and urban farming and letting people grow their own food. So the way it worked is if you signed up for the thing, they would supply you with one, it's like a starter tomato plant that is in an 8-inch pot that has, you know, is ready to sprout, that had like buds on it. Then at one that is in a 4-inch pot that was a sort of a baby plant, and then 4 seeds, which they wanted you to start, and then just have one that you repot. And so we track the movements of the 3, right? So let me show you a couple of pictures. So this, and for those of you just, you know, listening, I'll describe what's on the screen. This is my original bigger plant. So this is the one that was in the 8-inch pot. And you can see that there are flower buds. And if you look really closely, you can see a few tiny little sprouts of the tomatoes. Okay. And then this, and then here it is now. This is the big tomato plant just like last night. You see, there were 3 pretty ripe red tomatoes on there. Well, when I went out this morning, there were only 2. And so I thought, well, I guess some creature ate one. I guess it's time to harvest. So what I'm holding here in my hand, and they were like little, you know, cherry tomatoes, are my first 2 tomatoes. This is my first harvest. And I haven't tasted them yet. But these are homegrown fresh tomatoes right out of my garden. Now, I rinse them off, adjust the audio again. God damn it. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully it'll clear. I'm going to wait a second and see if it clears up because it did before, right? I'll listen to Courtney Barnett. I like Courtney Barnett. Avant Gardener. I don't know. So did it clear up yet? I'm going to taste one of the tomatoes because I can, all right? Not bad. So, yum. So, yeah, now the audio is clear again. All right, see, I guess we just wait and see. And I'm going to have to contact the company again. Yummy. So, hey, I grew tomatoes. So hopefully more will turn colors in the next few days. And now I've got like 4 plants. So anyway, thought I'd bring you up to speed on that stuff. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Howie Klein's coming up in just a moment. We've got a lot to talk about. Did you see the big news today? CNN Plus, that they just launched to great fanfare, that they've been promoting for 6 months, that they poached Casey Hunt from MSNBC, and they poached Chris Wallace from Fox, and they're paying, and Audie, whatever her name is, from NPR. And they've spent already over $100 million on this thing. They already killed it. Now, I guess it's still, they're going to let it peter out and officially pull the plug on April 30th. So they have another 9 days. But CNN Plus is dead. And, you know, CNN was just taken over by, you know, it's no longer part of AT&T. It was taken over by Warner Brothers and Discovery. So the Discovery Channel, who knew, grew so big that it like owns CNN and all this stuff now. But Howie Klein, who will be joining us shortly, back when I knew him, when I first met him, he was president of Reprise Records. Reprise Records, a division of Warner Brothers. And, you know, he was a hotshot. Big deal. Reprise Records, home of Frank Sinatra, Neil Young, Eric Clapton, Green Day. I could go on and on. Reprise, big, big time, right? And how he walked away from it. You know when? When Time Warner merged with AOL. And they offered some of the senior staff buyouts. We're going to find out from Howie how this parallels what is going on right now with CNN Plus. All right. I'll tell you what, though. Let's take a quick time out. I'm going to, we'll take a break. And we'll be right back. Okay? All right. We'll try this. I'm Nicole Sandler on the Progressive Voices Network. All right. We'll see if that worked over there. And while they're in spots, I will play for you my own commercial that I debuted just last week, right? Hopefully this will work. We'll find out right now, I think, like this.
Mother's Day is coming up fast, and once again, you're in search of the perfect gift. How about a custom portrait of her fur babies? You know, the ones who don't grow up and leave home. You could commission a portrait and present her with the finished painting, or make the collaboration part of the special gift. I'm Nicole Sandler, and for the past couple of years, I've been painting custom pet portraits. What sets me apart from the others is my collaborative process. I work with you or her, deciding on the perfect photo to use for reference, the size, background, and other details. Then I get started. I'll send photos of the painting in progress at different steps along the way and ask you to be brutally honest and tell me any little thing that's wrong or just slightly off. I fix any of those issues and go a bit further and send another photo. The portrait is done when you or she says, "That's it. It's perfect." Whether you present her with a finished portrait or a beautiful gift certificate that also gives her the gift of collaborating on her keepsake pet portrait, this is the personal and unique gift you're looking for. See samples, get more information, and contact me all through paintyourpets.net. That's paintyourpets.net.
And now, a word from our friend Boca Brittany Summers to Tucker Carlson.
A little bit of paint will paint my balls with colors to display. A little bit of paint looks better when my balls hang down this way. On each of my nuts, I like to paint a happy little yellow. Your balls look better this way.
You take a brush and you swing it on your nuts as you very gently touch and
dab away.
You can festoon and dress up your baga ghouls to tickle and amuse and place on your lover's face.
Little bit of paint will paint my balls with colors to display. A little bit of paint looks better when my balls hang down this way. Some guys paint their toes or their nails, but this will open up their eyes without fail. A little bit of paint will make your balls look better this way.
My balls.
Make your balls.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
little cookies. Tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm okay. Guess who I just spoke to?
On the air?
On the air.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
No. But it's somebody that you introduced me to now, like over a year ago already. And she, it has to do with something that happened today in Florida.
Oh, I know. Annette.
Angie.
Oh, Angie. Fantastic.
Angie Nixon. She's doing great. She doesn't have COVID anymore because the last time we spoke to her, she had COVID and she was pregnant. Remember? But she today was one of the people who did this sit-in in the House chamber in Tallahassee, trying to at least stall, the guy who I know called a Satan. He's still death sentence, but now he's the governor of Satan. DeSatan is his new name. This is his new the move to eliminate two black districts in Florida, and to make the balance instead of, I think, what were the numbers? It was like I had it before, like 12 Democratic seats to let me find the numbers here. I don't know if you
losing three seats under DeSantis's plan,
right?
And then the fourth seat, which was newly added, would also be a Republican seat. So the Republicans would gain a net of four seats in Congress.
Right. And he just did this. You know, we passed legislation a few years ago called the Fair Districts Florida Act, where this is not supposed to happen.
By the voters, overwhelmingly.
Yes. And they're just saying, too bad. Too bad. We're not doing that. And they're not. So
they aren't these boundaries to hold up in court. They think that they'll probably be rejected, but they'll be rejected after the election. So then they'll have to redraw them again. But meanwhile, they'll elect four extra Republicans.
That's right. Yeah, here are the numbers. It was 16 Republican, 11 Democratic seats. Now it'll be 20 Republican, 8 Democratic seats, which is crazy. So Angie was up there leading the charge and holding this sit-in. And, of course, you know what the idiots, what the Republicans said? Oh, now you're just like, you're doing like an insurrection like they did at the Capitol.
Yes. Did Angie kill anyone?
No, she did not. And, you know, as far as I could tell, I saw a video. They were peaceful. They were sitting there and chanting and, you know, calling attention to a problem. They had no weapons. They didn't break in anywhere. They didn't break windows. They didn't, you know, they weren't violent. No, none of that. None of that.
Well, I mean, you know, let's face it. The Republicans aren't exactly a party of good faith.
No, that's an understatement. Oh, God. So, Howie, if unless you're under a rock today, the big news is CNN, who launched with great fanfare. I mean, they had the buildup for like 6 months to CNN Plus was launching, and then they launched it, and the subscription was half price for life as long as you stay. And, you know, and they poached Casey Hunt for over $1 million a year from NBC, and they got Chris Wallace from Fox, and they got Audie, whatever her last name is, from NPR. And, you know, this was going to be the thing, and they've already pulled the plug on it. They killed it today. I guess they'll let it peter out and fully exterminate it on the 30th at the end of the month. But they're telling people, I got the memo from the incoming guy who's replacing Jeff Zucker. And it's like, it's not your fault. It was just shitty timing or something like that. I mean, it was like, but that we're going to do this. They're going to give everybody 3 months full pay so that they can figure out what comes next. And then, you know, some severance package after that. But a lot of people quit their jobs to take this job, and they hired many, many people that I guess now they're going to fire. But this happened because of a change in ownership. CNN, which was owned by AT&T until recently, now falls under the, tell me if I get this wrong, Warner Brothers Discovery group. right? It's W.
How would I know?
What's it? Oh, okay. Well, that's what it is. So it's Discover. Who knew the Discovery Channel would grow to be the main player over Warner Brothers and AT&T and CNN, whatever. But it is Warner Brothers Discovery who is now calling the shots. Now, you, as I explained to the listeners before I brought you on, you used to be president of Reprise Records. That is a huge division of Warner Brothers. But you left at a similar time of a merge when Time Warner merged with AOL, right?
Yes, that's right.
So
soon after, I mean, I made my decision to go based on that. And then my boss, who was the chairman of Warner Brothers, said, look, and I'll go into why I made that decision and why he did. He also leaving. But he said, please don't leave before I do. Let's just give it a little time, finish up what we need to finish up, and then we're out.
Okay.
So I said, okay. And that meant I stayed an extra year approximately.
Right. Now, didn't they had like a offered early retirement and a buyout for people who wanted to leave?
They did. And that was different from, I mean, I didn't take that or have anything to do with that. What my thing was something entirely different. Now, before I explain it, let me just say that someone wrote about it recently, I think it was either in a magazine article, I think it was a book, though, and sent it and asked Steve Case, who I'm going to talk about in a moment, for his opinion of what I had to say, which is what I'm about to say to you, and Steve Case said I was lying, that it never happened.
Steve Case was the head of AOL, right?
Well, he became the head of the whole thing. AOL theoretically bought Time Warner, although they didn't really buy it, but they wound up owning it. So in any case, what happened was soon after Steve Case took over the whole operation, he called all of the senior executives on the West Coast together. I imagine he did the same thing on the East Coast. But he had all the West Coast executives, chairman of the companies, presidents of the companies, senior vice presidents of the companies, not vice presidents. So it didn't go below senior vice president. And that there are a lot of companies, and it filled an auditorium on the Warner Brothers Pictures studio.
Wow.
So we walked to from my office, so it's very close. So
right.
We walked over there, and had no idea what he was going to say to us. This is his senior management team across all of the, various record labels and TV and movies and magazines and all the other properties that they had. This is all the senior people.
Right.
And what he said, and denies he said, was that this is going to be our time. He used those exact words. This is going to be our time. And then am I allowed to use dirty words on this?
Yes, you are.
I can, yes.
Yeah.
And then he said, fuck the artists. Fuck the customers. It was just fuck everybody. And he says he never said that also. He just said, fuck this, fuck that. He was just fuck everybody. So what he was saying was that, and he said exactly this, this is our time to get rich. At which point I looked around the room.
Oh, my God.
And I thought to myself, is there anyone in this room who's making less than $1 million a year? Maybe there was a few of senior vice presidents. But most of the people in the room were making more than $1 million a year.
Wow.
There was no one in the room who couldn't be described as rich. Everyone was rich. But he was saying, this is our time to get rich.
Oh, my God.
And I'm thinking, okay, I guess it's a matter of how you define it. I mean, does that mean you have to have a private plane? And the way he was saying that we're going to do that basically was by cheating everybody else. So Warner Brothers was a company that, when people went to work there, no one ever wanted to leave because
right.
It was a company that was based on I'm talking about Warner Brothers Records now.
Yes, right.
It was a company that was based on trying to be a really good place that made people want to stay there. So, Mo Austin was the chairman of the company.
Yeah.
Lenny Warnicka was the president of the company. And they, particularly Mo, had a social vision that he really believed in. He was a socialist, basically, and he had a vision that he believed in, and it was, we were there to serve the interests of the artists and of the consumers,
mm-hmm.
the people who bought our products, of the community that we lived in, and There was one other. There were four. I can't remember what the fourth one was. But in any case, he tried as best he could over the decades to pick executives who saw it that way as well. So just as an example, when any time an insurance company would come up with some new thing that was part of their product, a new product for mm-hmm. them, like as an example, women could get extra coverage if they had a baby and had to stay out of work for a month.
Okay.
To say, Warner's would immediately grab that for our employees.
Right.
So our employees had literally the best insurance policy that money could buy, and Mo insisted on that. So it's not just a matter of high pay and good bonuses. But it was little things like that which went throughout the company. So not just the senior people getting these giant bonuses, which was a very nice thing if you were a senior person, mm-hmm. but also for people who weren't senior people, even including secretaries, for example, who worked there, who got pretty good pay anyway, but also got every advantage that they could possibly get in terms of, as an example, insurance.
Mm-hmm.
When Steve Case talked about that, he brought insurance up exactly in his speech, and he addressed the insurance situation. And he said, if the state requires that we spend $9.99 per person on insurance coverage, we do not spend $10.
Oh my God!
$9.99, no more. And I mean, and like Warner's was like spending like, you know, $35.
Right, right.
These are figures I'm making up. But I mean, we weren't even close. I mean, that meant like cutting. And it was right around that moment when he was saying, fuck the artist and
right.
all this kind of stuff,
yeah,
I also
right.
was thinking, I'm not staying here. But when he started talking about, you know, we're going to spend $9.99, not $10, I said, well, I'm leaving. That's it. I've, when I first came to work at Warner Brothers, I'm going to go off track here.
Yeah, please.
I had been running my own record company, 415 Records.
Right.
My draw, in other words, my salary, which I could set myself, was $5,000 a year. That's what I was making. Now, $5,000 a year is very little,
yes.
but then it was a little more. I mean, the buying power of the dollar was more in the 70s than it
that's
is now.
That's true, but still, but that's not
still
very
pretty,
much.
It was still a very, very... very, very low salary.
Yes.
And I went from that to, you know, up this really fast chain of making a lot of money. But when I first took the job at Warner's, I said to myself, I will save $100,000 and then I will quit working at this horrible corporation. I will quit living in this horrible city of L.A. and I will buy a hut on the beach and go and live my dream.
Uh-huh.
And then soon I was like, you know, making an awful lot of money and far surpassed that many times over. And I no longer thought of L.A. as a horrible city. I started liking it a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that Warner Brothers wasn't a horrible corporation. It was a fantastic place to work.
Right.
And I wound up staying. But when I heard Steve Case talking about his vision for the company, that's when I said, okay, I have saved up enough money to live the rest of my life in a way I would like. I don't need to buy an airplane. I had no intention of ever buying an airplane, nor do I need to buy a Mercedes.
Right.
You know,
you still have your old Prius, don't you? Do you still have that same Prius?
I have an old Prius, that's right. And nor did I need to live in a mansion.
Right.
A lot of my peers, you know, bought mansions. I didn't. And didn't care. It's not like I lusted after that. You know, I met many people in that phase of my life who were very, very wealthy. Mm-hmm. You know, multimillionaires many, many times over.
Sure.
And they didn't seem like they were the happiest people in the world. They didn't seem that they were satisfied. You know, so many of them, I would say almost all of them, not all of them, because I know some exceptions, but almost all of them didn't look down and think, wow, this is what I used to have. This is the amount of, lifestyle advantages that I came from. They didn't look that way. They looked up and they would think, Look at all that money that David Geffen has. Why should he have all that and I don't? Why should he have a yacht as big as that and mine is so small?
Right.
And I used to look at that and just think, wow, these poor people, it's just so sad that that they're never going to be happy. It's not going to matter how many millions of dollars they make. They're going to always be miserable because there's always going to be somebody that's got more. Mm-hmm. And they will be, you know, awful, horrid people. Many of them being not just greedy, but also cheats.
Right.
Very, very few of the ultra rich people, at least the ones that I met, were not just evil, rotten cheats. And you know, Trump's whole thing about elect me because I'm not going to have to cheat anybody because I've got all the money in the world and I'm really rich. And I used to laugh when I'd hear that because he was the opposite of that.
Of course.
He was the most unscrupulous, unethical, greedy, evil people on the face of the earth. And what he was selling was the opposite. And he was, you know, and it's not like he didn't know. And he's laughing at these idiots who are believing that. And you still get it to this day. We have some kind of I think he's a billionaire, running for mayor of L.A. right now. And he's using the same thing, saying, I'm not going to steal anybody's money. I'm as rich as can be. I have a $500 million yacht, et cetera.
Yeah.
And this guy is just the worst thing that's going to happen. But people are still buying it. I hear people say to me, that look how rich he is. He's never going to cheat us.
Ask how he got so rich, because chances are he cheated his way there.
Yes, he did. He did. But he started out the same way they all start out. Big, giant money from their family.
Oh, of course.
So,
yes.
Of course, they're born on third base, and they met someone, you know, hits it out of the park, and they run into a home run, and they think they scored that home run.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's too much of that. And then I see on one of the news aggregator sites that one of the Trump offspring is saying, that the Bidens are milking the position for everything, for all this financial gain. You know, the projection from these people is just too much.
That's Trump's whole thing, is projectionism.
Yep.
I thought when you started talking about that, which of course is relevant to what we're speaking about, I thought you were going to get into what Don Jr. said today when he endorsed Eric Greitens.
Oh, no. He did? Oh, my God. So Eric Greitens.
Did you see what he said?
No.
Well, should we tell who Eric Greitens is so people know?
Yeah. Okay. Many of them know, but go ahead. Yeah.
So Greitens was a Democrat who switched parties and became a Republican, and was the governor of Missouri.
Right.
As governor, he's now running for the U.S. Senate seat. It's an open seat, and he's one of the Republicans running. He's on the top of the polls. So if you look at the aggregate polls, he's at number one among the Republicans. Although we have an ultra good progressive Democrat, I think you've
Lucas
met
Coons.
Trump, right?
He's been on the show many times. He's awesome.
Yes. So in some ways, we want Greitens to get this thing because he'll be the easiest one to defeat. But let me go back to what I was saying. Greitens, while he was governor, he was found out to be into this whole S&M thing. And he had tied up a woman in his basement. And then he took pictures of her. And he said, if you ever tell anybody, I'm going to make these pictures public. And it was his hairdresser, as a matter of fact. And anyway, he was generally found out to be kind of like a sicko.
Right.
And then and there were a lot of things around that were very, very weird. And the Republican legislature said that they were going to impeach him, and they were taking all the steps towards impeachment. There was no doubt he was going to be impeached. And then he quit rather than be impeached. He just quit. And, he was found guilty of a couple of crimes, but because he quit, they lightened up on what they charged him with. And now he comes back as a diehard, insane Trumpist, as far to the right and as far as to crazy as you could possibly be. He decided right from the beginning he was going to out-Trump everybody else who ran. There were a whole bunch of people running. And so Don Jr. makes his decision in his announcement today that he's endorsing him. And what he said was, if the New York Times and the mass media thinks he's the worst, he must be the best.
Oh, God.
I endorse him.
Oh, my God. They really are deplorable. You know, I don't often quote Hillary Clinton, but she got that one right. It's the perfect description of these people. It and then you look at, you know, the former guy, the orange one himself. He endorses Dr. Oz. Why? Not because, you know, he's got a great grasp of the issues, and because he's been on television for so long that, you know, people love him. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Trump's whole strategy in his endorsement process, because there's no real process, is will they be loyal to him?
Yes.
A. And B, how will it make Trump look? If they win, it makes Trump look bad. If they lose, I'm sorry,
if they win, it makes Trump look good.
If they lose, it makes Trump look bad. So, yes, he doesn't look at people's policy positions or capacity. He looks at only will they be loyal to him and what's the chance of them winning so that I can get the credit. That's
yeah,
it.
Right.
There's his process right there.
Wow. It's just.
And not that he helps anybody anyway.
No.
I think this so far this year he's only helping one candidate. I can't remember who it was, but it was one awful candidate.
And he's taking ton of money and still scamming people, like still doing those same tricks that he was already busted for, where they set the thing when you make a donation that it automatically checks off to make this a recurring thing that you have to uncheck if you don't want to make it a recurring. I mean, that everything he does is to take advantage of people, and they say, here, take more from me.
Yes, that's right, they do. And they are deplorable. And when Hillary said that, even though it turned out really badly for her to have said that, I congratulated her on my blog. I said, this is the smartest thing that you've ever said, and everybody should defend her.
Right.
But that's not how it worked out for her.
Yep.
Because, you know, you know, people don't think of themselves as deplorable, the voters, 70 million of them or whatever it was, even if they are deplorable. They were outraged to be called deplorable. And,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't smart of her politically.
Politically.
It was very true what she said, but not a smart political move.
Exactly. But you know, what these Republicans are doing, you would think, is not smart politically. So here, perfect example. So one of my listeners just tweeted, Nicole, can you explain what this means on your show sometime? It seems bad for taxpayers from what I've seen. And what she did is retweeted Kyle Griffin, who said, breaking, Florida Republicans have passed a bill sought by Ron the Satan to cancel Walt Disney World's special tax district in Florida after the company criticized the state's Don't Say Gay law. This is going to raise taxes a lot for the people in the area around Disney World. That's Central Florida. This could raise tax bill.
It will raise taxes. You know, and people are saying things like, why should Disney have their own government? Well, you know, it's not a real government.
No,
what they have is
they take care of the
roads, police department, and their own fire department. That's what it amounts to.
And their own, they take care of the infrastructure. They deal with the roads and the sewage and that shit. Now all that cost is going to go to the county and to the state.
Yeah,
that's going to cost taxpayers a lot of money.
Well, DeSantis taught them a lesson.
Yeah. Don't cross me. That's the lesson he's teaching. If you go against me, and this is apparently why, even though on this redistricting too, apparently there are some legislators on that side of the aisle who know he's batshit crazy and out of his mind, but they don't cross him because the lesson he's taught is if you cross me once, that's it. You're out. And I will walk all over you. And that he's learned from Trump a lot. He is the mini Trump.
He has, unlike Trump, he has the line item veto. So all of these legislators who have, things in pieces of legislation inside greater giant legislation, they have a line or two that brings money to their districts. They know if he goes against them, that will get right away crossed right out, and their districts will suffer because they stood up for what they know is constitutional and right.
Wow.
So then none of them are crossing him.
You know, this, I feel like we're like it's 1983 and we're, you know, 1984 is the next year, just one election away, because that's where we are. Or, You could just say one election, we turn into Gilead. This is The Handmaid's Tale coming to life.
Yes, and Republicans love that idea. Democrats are horrified by it. Republicans think it's the ideal that they should be striving for. You probably didn't get a chance to see my blog today because you're on the air.
Yes.
But if you look at the very top story, you're going to see something you're going to like.
The minute I opened it, let me, don't even say it. I'm going to put it up on the screen and let everyone have the same horrific, reaction that I had. And here it is, and we'll let them get the reaction. Ah! And for those who are listening to an audio stream, it's a campaign poster. It says DeSantis Youngkin for President 2024. Oh my God! No, I think so, that's the nail, the final nail.
By chance, on Twitter, I came across this thing that a woman wrote about that I'd never heard of her or seen her tweets before. Somehow it wound up in my feed, and it was an incredible thread about how is it that only one company is now allowed to sell books, textbooks. To the Florida school system, and she went into it, and this is Youngkin owned it.
Youngkin,
yes. I mean, I don't know that he owns it anymore, but he certainly still has stock and profits coming into him personally from this company. And it was a company that was bought by the Carlyle Group.
Oh, of course it was.
Right, and of course, and she is demanding that somebody take a look at. I mean, this is instead of like, you know, a dozen companies selling books. This is just one company.
One.
They get all of the business for the state of Florida. This is a game changer for them financially. This is a huge, huge thing.
Except there's a but that I've learned, and I'm not 100% sure it's the case, but I heard it from a fairly reliable source. I just haven't had the chance to double check. So there's that caveat. But the way I understand it is the individual school boards have the final say on what textbooks they use. Now, that said, the school boards have now been overrun by, you know, the Satan crowd. So they may wind up with the same end result that they will only use the state recommended list. And there's just the one company on that list. And it's math. Because they're saying the math is pushing CRT principles in it. I still want to ask these idiots, like the mothers who's like, yeah, CRT. What is CRT? You tell me and give me an example of what your kid was taught that falls under that designation. Because there isn't anything.
Oh, but they know what it is. In their guts, they do know what it is, which is anything that humanizes rather than dehumanizes black people.
Exactly.
That simple.
Right.
It's just another word for racism.
Yes.
And you know, it sounds better than saying, you know, we are racist. Instead, we are anti-CRT.
Oh, my God. I've been talking about opposite world for so long. I never thought it would get to this point. But we are, it's doublespeak. We are in 1984. We are headed for Gilead. We are probably one election away. And it scares the shit out of me.
Well, two. We have a midterm and then we have...
Right. Right. Four. You're right. Yeah, the midterm is the first step.
Who do we want more? Do we want DeSantis and Youngkin, or do we want Trump and...
God.
And Hawley?
Oh, God. I don't want either one of them. No. Oh, yay. Oh, God,
hopefully,
we're so screwed.
Hopefully we'll have Bernie.
Now, I saw he said if Joe Biden decides not to run, that Bernie would possibly run again.
Yeah. That's, yes, that is what I'm seeing. And I hope it's the case. It came from a good source.
Wow.
Bernie hasn't denied it. And, just imagine all the horrors that we're going through now and that we're thinking about coming and then winding up with Bernie Sanders as president.
Well, that would be amazing. But unless and until the Democrats purge some people from leadership, he will be derailed yet again. And I'm talking about Jim Clyburn.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So there's that. Yeah. Oh, well. Howie Klein, thank you for the backstory there. This whole CNN thing is just, this is what happens when big corporations eat each other and the corporate infrastructure keeps reproducing, this is what you wind up with. A lot of money at the top.
By the way, I didn't even know what all I knew about CNN Plus was that that guy from Fox, Wallace, went
there. Right, Chris Wallace went there. No, they spent a lot of money poaching, you know, people, the woman from NPR, I think Morning Edition or whatever, went over there. Casey Hunt from MSNBC, they made a big deal. They're paying her like $1 million a year. Like, really, for Casey Hunt? And they're bringing all this heavy duty, you know, big money talent on board for this streaming outlet, which didn't even last 3 weeks. The jokes on the interwebs are like, oh, it lasted less than three Scaramucci's. So,
yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Just absolutely amazing.
It is amazing. It's all amazing. All right. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. When you're there, go check out the Blue America Pack and give whatever you can to the candidates that Blue America has endorsed. Howie vets them all. They are all true progressives. If they are under the Blue America heading, you know that your vote is well placed. Your money is well spent because we need some of these people to win. We really need them to win.
We have elections coming up. I mean, you know, it's May 3rd in Ohio, May 17th in North Carolina and Oregon.
Yep.
I mean, everything is now. Everyone's thinking, oh, yeah, well, I have till November to go.
No,
right now.
I'm looking.
Now.
So you got May 3rd, not only Ohio, but Indiana. You got the following week, the 10th.
No candidates there.
Oh, okay. Well, the 10th, Nebraska and West Virginia. I don't think we have much hope there. The 17th, you do have Pennsylvania, Oregon, and North Carolina.
Oh, that's a very, very big deal, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
They have a race where we've got a really good candidate and a really bad candidate on the Democratic side.
Yep.
And then we've got a Nina Turner. Oh, no, that's Ohio. Sorry.
Yeah, that's Ohio. Yes, that's the third. But then you got Oregon, and there are a couple of big races there too. And you have these groups spending ridiculous amounts of money on primaries in Oregon to keep the progressives out.
Yep, and in Ohio and in Pennsylvania. You know, groups with millions of dollars to defeat progressives.
So,
we really do need, lots and lots of $5 and $10 and $20 donations to make up for those millions.
Yes, because they are spending millions. And again, this all goes back to Citizens United. And why is that still standing? Why was that not overturned during the Obama years? These are the things that, you know, that is what allows all this dark money to flow. And people to spend unlimited amounts on buying a candidate.
And the fact of the matter is that the Democrats talk against it, but, you know, they're getting a lot of this money as well.
I know.
You know, this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, some young American who is now a billionaire because of cryptocurrency.
Uh-huh.
And he was Biden's second biggest donor.
Oy.
And now he's spending, I think he put $11 million into conservative Democratic campaigns.
Wow. Yeah. See, the old any blue will do is not true. Any blue will not do. We need progressives. So it's primary season.
I have one on the other line now that I have to go and take.
Okay, you go take it, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Howie.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Take care. Howie Klein, everyone. Find him at downwithtyranny.com and on the Twitters at downwithtyranny. All right. With that, we're done. Tomorrow is Earth Day. So tomorrow we're going to hear an interview that I actually recorded last week with a climate writer. He's a reporter. He's a journalist who deals with issues on climate change and all that. And he's got a new book, and I can't even find his name. It's here. Oh, here he is. Eugene Linden. And his book is called Fire and Flood, A People's History of Climate Change, 1979 to the Present. And it's pretty fascinating. But we'll have the first half hour together as usual. So come on back tomorrow. All right. I'll leave you with the news as usual. And thank you for being here. And keep your head up. Let's elect some progressives and take control back. Because if we don't, I don't know what we do. We cry. We'll have a big group cry. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow Here's the news.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
To mask or not to mask? Well, I say mask because it's about protecting those around you, like the kids under 5 who can't yet get vaccinated and the immune compromised who cannot breathe your germs. But when the Trump-appointed Florida-based federal judge acted alone in striking down the mask mandate on airlines and other mass transportation, the Biden administration said they'd appeal the ruling if the CDC deemed it necessary. Well, they finally did, issuing a recommendation that says an order requiring masking in the indoor transportation corridor remains necessary for the public health. So, back to court they go. And if the conservative-leaning appeals court upholds the order, the case could then be appealed to the Supreme Court, where the right-wing majority of justices have been ruling against COVID-19 measures since the start of the pandemic. But legal experts said the Justice Department had to challenge this ruling in order to preserve the CDC's authority to take action against deadly diseases in the future. It's just amazing. Things are getting even worse in Mariupol, Ukraine, as the city is on the verge of falling. Reports say that Putin on Thursday ordered his troops to hold off on storming a steel plant that is the last Ukrainian stronghold in the city. At least 1,000 civilians are believed to have taken refuge inside this steel complex, along with the remaining Ukrainian forces. One commander on Wednesday issued a desperate plea, saying his troops likely had only hours to live, absent outside intervention. The fall of Mariupol would give Russia a key port and complete a land bridge connecting Russia to the Crimean Peninsula, part of Ukraine that Moscow annexed back in 2014. So what are we doing to help? Well, Western nations said they're rushing artillery, helicopters, and other heavy military equipment to help the Ukrainian forces fight off Russia's new offensive in eastern Ukraine. So despite the fact that there is still one Ukrainian stronghold, Putin actually congratulated the Russian military on taking control of the city, a claim obviously Ukrainian officials have denied. You know, yesterday I told you that they had agreed to new humanitarian corridors to allow the remaining civilians out. And I think I said I'll believe it when I see it. Well, my doubts were confirmed as Ukrainian commanders on the ground said Russian forces have not honored those agreements to open humanitarian corridors or to enforce ceasefires and instead have continued to bombard the city. Now, more than 5 million people are estimated to have fled Ukraine during the 2 months of war so far, with another 6.5 million people internally displaced. Poland has taken in nearly 3 million Ukrainians. That's roughly equal to 8% of its population. But there's more. Russia on Wednesday announced that it had successfully tested the Sarmat intercontinental ballistic missile, which Moscow says can deliver nuclear warheads at hypersonic speeds and dodge defenses. Oh, lovely. Putin saying, quote, "This truly unique weapon will force all who are trying to threaten our country in the heat of frenzied aggressive rhetoric to think twice." Ugh, just amazing. Meanwhile, here in Florida, the mini-Trump governor called a special session of the state legislature, ostensibly to deal with the homeowners insurance crisis in the state, something they ignored during the regular session. But once they got there, it was clear they were dealing with other dictatorial decisions made by Governor DeSantis, like the congressional redistricting map that he put forth after vetoing the efforts of the Florida legislature. So on Wednesday, the Republican-controlled Florida Senate voted 24 to 15, along party lines, to approve this new controversial redistricting map that further cements Republicans' control of the state and, of course, does away with two current districts held by black Democrats. State Senator Chevron Jones of Miami Gardens said, quote, "Throughout this process, Governor DeSantis has thrown childish tantrum after tantrum, all in an attempt to boost his own political prospects, and it's frankly embarrassing that my Republican colleagues lack the backbone to stand up to the governor's playground-style bullying." And bullying it is, because the Florida Senate also took up DeSantis' feud with Disney. This is purely in retaliation for Disney's daring to oppose the governor, over his reprehensible Don't Say Gay law that's now in effect. So to get back, DeSantis wants to make null and void a special deal the state cut with Disney 55 years ago. It's known as the Reedy Creek Improvement Act. It's a unique Florida law that allows the entertainment giant to operate as an independent government around its Orlando area theme parks. Governor Death Sentence ripped Disney as a, quote, woke corporation. Why is that a bad thing? And encouraged Republican lawmakers to advance a pair of bills targeting Disney. The state house is expected to vote on Thursday. Just amazing. A few quick items. New federal data analyzed by University of Michigan researchers found that firearms have surpassed motor vehicles as the leading cause of death among children and adolescents in the U.S. Let that sink in for a moment. And then there's this. The total number of Americans collecting unemployment benefits fell to its lowest level in more than 50 years last week. Jobless claims fell by 2,000 to 184,000. And finally, we should call it capital insecurity. On Wednesday evening at 6:32 p.m., the U.S. Capitol Police ordered an evacuation of the Capitol and other congressional buildings because of a low-flying small plane that had entered D.C. airspace. The radar path showed the plane circling just south of the Capitol, and it wasn't responding to communications. It turns out, however, that the plane was part of the pre-game festivities for the Washington Nationals Military Appreciation Night. Seriously. Several members of the Army's Golden Knights parachute team even jumped onto the field. But the FAA didn't give a heads up to the Capitol Police, who saw the plane as a threat to the Capitol complex. And why are they having a military appreciation night at a Major League Baseball game anyway? Just asking. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.
Stay really close with my sister, so it was challenging but fun.
That, you know, and this is why I ask, right? Because all we see today is the